Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. 16 is a progression of what has already been announced in chapter 13. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." So Samuel tells Saul, your kingdom will not stand. Your kingdom ends with you. God has picked a new king, and his line will be established. This king is a man after God's heart. So what's that mean? It can mean God's choice, a man according to God's own will. Or it can convey David's heart in seeking God's will. It may convey both. David was God's choice, and we will see him be a man that loves God, but not perfectly, of course. Saul had a heart that continually failed to seek and obey God. In chapter 13, Saul was headed into battle. He was given explicit instructions by Samuel. He was to wait 7 days. Samuel would then show up. Samuel would then perform his priestly duty before they went to battle. Saul grew impatient. The people started to scatter. The wait seemed too long. Saul panicked and he took on the role of priest. He offered a burnt offering as if he was the priest. The role of the priest and king were separate. He disobeyed with spiritual presumptions, arrogant, and would rather make sure he got the ritual done than honor God. Samuel tells him to obey is better than sacrifice. Saul did not learn anything. We get to chapter 15, and we have another example. Saul is told to wipe out the evil of Amalekites completely, but Saul decides to keep the best of the stuff and animals and to spare their king. He thought, well, we will offer the best of this to God. He will like that. And Samuel rebukes him and once again tells him the kingdom will be torn from him. Once again, Saul is disobedient. He's not a man that seeks God. He's not after God's heart. He's not honoring and obeying God. So when we pick up here in chapter 16, when God says he rejected Saul, God had given Israel the exact sort of king they desired. He looked the part. He looked like a warrior, a leader, or a king, but Saul failed to be a king of God's desired. Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So when they came, he looked over Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord has anointed this before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, but man looks on an outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made Shemaiah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. And now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now we are introduced to a man after God's own heart, the man God has chosen. This is the moment, this is a boy, but he's a boy God has big plans for. Here's what we need to see. David is very different than Saul. Saul looked like a king. He was the kind of a king they desired, and that he was impressive, like the other nations. Eliab is like this. Samuel sees him and assumes this is the one. He looks like a king. He was the oldest and probably had the size. God teaches Samuel an important lesson that is the heart of the passage. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look in his appearance on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not a man, sees a man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So the passage is the key. A lot of what you need to know about God, about people, about Christianity is right here. God sees our heart. Our world naturally tends to look at the outside. That's what man does. But God looks at what you and I can't see, the heart. God is not like us. He's holy. He's different. He's God. There's nothing about David that made him seem outwardly like the guy. He was the youngest son. When you read the Old Testament, you will see an emphasis on the firstborn. The firstborn son got the inheritance and blessing, etc. The choice of David being king and not his brothers goes against all that. But this is in keeping with how we see God work throughout the Old Testament. We see this with Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. We see it with Moses over Aaron. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God take the different path than societies in the world to pick the one not expected. He was a runt. The word for youngest could also mean smallest. Some have said it could be a way of saying he was a runt. Like his dad, didn't even invite him. He's out keeping sheep. Everyone gets the invite but David. And that's the guy God picked. So God was not making the selection on human worldly terms. He didn't choose David for his stature, looks, age, birth, order, experience. This doesn't mean David was ugly. That misses the point, too. It says David was ruddy, could refer to skin tone over reddish hair, and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. David didn't have king's resume, but the main point is not that God is against a king like a resume. The point is God is concerned with the heart. Resumes can deceive. You can get a resume and think, wow, this person is awesome. They went to this school, they've done these things, this is our person. But the resume never says works poorly with others. The resume never says town gossip, culture killer, immature. Resumes can deceive. God can't be deceived. God sees. He is concerned with his he works in the heart. Does this mean David had some perfect heart? Like the guys came through and it was like, bad heart, bad, there is a good one. If David's heart was seeking God, it's because God was already working in it. No one has a good heart. We get changed hearts by God. The spirit rushing on David is a reminder that David will need God's spirit to empower him to live for and obey God. We do too. But Acts points to the fact that David, God has chosen someone who would obey. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, and when he had removed him, he raised up David to be the king, of whom he testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do my will. In Saul's life, we learn the heart will ultimately manifest itself in life. Beware a heart that doesn't value God and obedience to him above all. Beware of prizing ritual over relationship. Beware of partial obedience, which is disobedience. Beware being the kind of person that's kind of sort of obeying God. I like to cook sometimes. I've got this pasta dish I make. It's awesome. Now, here's the thing. It's not mine. I just follow directions. I'm a recipe guy. I follow it to the T. Sure, some things I may add some extra spice to, etc., but I want a recipe to follow. I want to know 1 teaspoon or 1.5 teaspoon of olive oil. I want it to be exact. I don't want to get to the end of the dish and think, well, this is not what I had last time. This is not what I expected. If you kind of sort of follow directions, you may end up with something totally different than you set out to make. If you kind of sort of obey God, what you end up with is not obedience. You end up with something else totally, disobedience. We need hearts that love and desire to honor and obey God. God is concerned today with your heart and he sees it. He knows it. The great commandment is to love God with all your heart. Jesus says it will come from the heart that defiles a person. Proverbs says, guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So listen, your heart matters. It is a seat of who you are. Your mind, will, emotions all flow from there. It's the inner you. It's all life flows from it. It's the most important thing about you. So how is your heart? How is your inner beauty? Are you someone who loves and obeys God? Do you have a heart that runs after God and His will? Are you concerned with your character or as you are your resume? God's looking at your heart. He cares about it. He cares about it. Are you tending it, guarding it? God wants to shape our heart. There is some space of time between verse 13 and 14 and then chapter 17. Remember, God is concerned with David's heart. And God has been at work on his heart before Samuel ever showed up. Now that work will continue. He's been doing so and will continue. Why? He wants him to be a man after his own heart. He was just a boy here. The only thing beauty that can grow and get better with age is inner beauty. Over the years, God would continue to shape David's heart. I think this chapter reveals three primary ways God shaped David through his spirit. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward, and Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. What's happening? God's Spirit rushes upon David to empower him for the ministry and position God will place him in. David has been chosen, but David would not be king for several more years. God's Spirit is the primary way God transforms and shapes the human heart. The only way David would be a man after God's heart is if God's Spirit continued to work on David's heart to make him a man after God's heart. Believer, the Spirit of God wants to work in your life to transform you from the inside out. God wants to shape your heart. Are you learning into that? Do you spend time with God seeking to have your heart worked on? God shaped David through shepherding. Okay? Where did they find David in the field shepherding? Just out there doing what he was supposed to be doing. Then one day David gets called in and boom, he's anointed by a prophet. Then what happens, David goes back to the field. In fact, when we get to chapter 17 in Goliath's story, David is still shepherding. God used this in David's life. He used his circumstances, his position, his task to shape him. Psalm chapter 78, verses 72, he chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. Okay, from the following and the nursing ewes, he brought him to the shepherd Jacob, his people. Israel, his inheritance, with an upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. So just as David once shepherded sheep, he will one day shepherd God's people. With what? An upright heart, a skillful hand. David likened God's care for him in Psalm 23. To him being a shepherd, he understood there are things to be learned about how to care, how to lead. Charles Swindoll says God's training ground for David had four primary means. Most of this come from being a shepherd. Solitude, a lot of time alone with God. Obscurity, he was unknown. Shepherds weren't celibs. Okay? Monotony, same thing each day. Reality, having to kill lions and bears. So God uses these in our lives as well. What else? What is your shepherding? It's wherever you are at. God wants to use your current situation, your current circumstance, to shape your heart, to make you more like Christ, and to further prepare you for his mission. And so God shaped David through serving. In chapter 16, verses 14 to 23, the next section of Scripture teaches the Spirit of God departs Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul is miserable. His disobedience has ruined his life. Saul's servants don't tell him you need to get someone to come and play the lyre for you. It's chapter 16, verse 17, 8. So Saul said to his servants, provide for me a man who can play well and bring him to me. One of the young men answered, behold, I've seen the son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, men of war, prudent in speech, and men of good presence, and the Lord is with him. So David has a reputation now, and the key, God is with him. God was shaping him. In 1621, and David came to Saul and entered his service, and Saul loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. So God took David and placed him right in service to the king he would replace. He was armor bearer. He got to see up close and personal what it would be like to be king. He got to see the stress and the challenges. He saw Saul tormented and learned the consequences of disobedience. Later, Saul will grow jealous of David and try to kill him. David will have opportunity to kill Saul and become king, but his integrity wasn't allowing it. His heart has been shaped by God. He honors the king's position as the Lord's anointed. He refuses to dishonor the king. You have to wonder how serving as Saul's personal musician and armor bearer shaped David to have a servant heart for the years ahead. And so God can use service to help shape us. As we serve others, God can change us. Are you serving others? Are you pursuing a servant heart? Listen. And mold it to be a heart after his heart. He wants you to be someone who loves him, obeys him, treasures him, and will, above all, a person of true inner beauty. Can I just say, no one just becomes a person after God's heart, and no one is born that way. Only the true king can truly change your heart. David didn't seem like this choice from a human perspective to be king. Jesus didn't either. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, for he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. David, as the anointed son, prince, points to the ultimate anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus. Only Jesus was perfectly filled with the Spirit. Jesus is the only one who was perfectly pursued by the Father's heart. Jesus is the only one that when the Father looked at him, sees no sin in his heart or life. This Jesus is the most truly beautiful person to ever live. Went to the cross and took our ugly sin upon himself so we can be made truly beautiful on the inside. He bore our sin, took what we deserve, that we could be given new hearts by the Spirit through faith in him. So have you been made new on the inside? Has God changed your heart? Believer, are you tending to your heart? Take it serious. God does. Are you seeking to have him shape it to be a heart after his heart? I hope so. Amen. Well, let us get into the invitation. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, you will get a chance to in just a moment. Well, let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road and never knowing which way to go, which way is up or down? Or are you lacking purpose in life and need some? Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something much worse, such as addiction to alcohol or drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating. Whatever the problem may be, God can take it away. In order for him to do so, though, okay, he must know you. If he does not know you, he cannot do anything for you. So the question tonight is, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, and I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins. And now I am willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I also thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. I want to say thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ tonight? Please give us your name so we can pray for you. And we want to like to say, if you said this prayer, we welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, I see we got some callers here. Let's take the first caller, 111.
Hey, what's up, Kenny? How are you doing?
All right, how's it going?
Why is there no chat?
I don't know. It wasn't working earlier. I tried to start it and it wouldn't go.
Wasn't working? Like, how was it not working?
It just wasn't working.
Okay. So what do you think about Doug's Sinidia pizzas?
Well, I don't know. If he did that, shame on him.
Yeah, shame on him.
Or whoever did it.
I already sent proof. You know it's true. So
yeah,
is that why the chat's not working? Because Doug's being racist and sending pizzas.
No, it just wouldn't work. Okay, I tried to get it to work before the show, and it wouldn't work.
This is a good potato.
Something on Blog Talk's in.
Oh, okay. So, what do you? So I sent you that proof. What do you think about that? Like, shame on him. Right. Yeah, we get that. So, is there anything you're gonna do about it?
Well, what can I do about it? He lives in Pennsylvania. I live in San Antonio.
I don't know. Call the cops. What do I know? But we all know it's Doug. He's got a vendetta against you.
Oh, well.
Oh, it's so scary, the vendetta. They sent pizza. Oh, no.
I know. Oh, no, right?
Yeah.
So how do you guys like your baked potatoes? I liked, I put a little bit of sour cream on it, some cheese, some bacon.
Yeah, same here.
Oh, it's the way to go. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, put me back on mute, I guess.
Okay.
Anyway.
Take it easy, buddy. Okay. 443.
Hey, this will add on to that last caller's point. I mean, did you ever look into specifically what specifically is on Blog Talk's end? Like, what exactly made the Blog Talk chat stop working?
I have no clue.
Well, there obviously must be something. Again, have you looked into it at all? Do you care to look into it?
By the time I sent him an email, and I won't get an answer until tomorrow.
Well,
I feel
like you're not putting much priority into your show.
Oh, yeah,
I feel like you're not putting much priority into your show. You're not
looking for
your show.
Until Tuesday.
Well, either way, Doug is most definitely the one sending you the pizza. And I have a question for you. The last time you guys got a pizza at the door, did you give the delivery guy a tip?
No.
You know,
no, we didn't order it.
Well, that's the thing, you know, for all we're on this train about, oh, you know, how it's horrible to send all these pizza guys on this long road. just to say no, whatever. I mean, you could have given them a tip just for his trouble. You could have given them a $5.
Had I ordered it, I'd have given a tip to them. For somebody out there being malicious to pizza companies, sorry, I'm not tipping them. Sorry.
Well, either way, you should most definitely look into the box office issue, or else she's not really putting much priority into your show. But either way, I'll see you guys later. And Kenny, fuck you for sending that dead man's ID. See you later.
Yep, goodbye. All right,
111. Hi, I'm calling from Pizza Junction. This is Susan.
Uh-huh. 111.
So I'm looking at this live help. Blog Talk Radio offers live help every Monday through Saturday, being from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m.
What kind of column?
Hey, Kenny, did you ever try, like, logging out and logging back in and resetting your Blog Talk?
No, I didn't do that.
You sure? Because, I mean, sometimes it's like... I mean, because sometimes it could be your internet browser or maybe your computer's acting up and you just got to restart it, re-log back in. You know, it's not that hard.
Yeah, I know, but then I was by the time I realized I couldn't get no chat, okay, the show was about to start. So, okay, I couldn't really do that. I had to just wing it.
Well, I mean, you could have went on late. I mean, you could have spared us a few songs on your show just so you can get your show working. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I'll do that next time for sure.
All right. Thanks, Kenny. Why do you keep racking up the credit on your wife's credit?
I have nothing to do with my wife's credit. Okay. All righty. 111.
Good evening. I have proof that Doug did send those pizzas, and I am going to...
Hey, Kenny. I understand that you're kind of a bitch, but I don't understand why Farrar is being such a bitch tonight. Like, he's being way more of a bitch than usual.
How do you figure that?
Well.
Okay. Alrighty. Well,
that isn't going to be such a bitch. The little they know, if I was on the air, I wouldn't even answer their calls.
Well, you heard that, folks. Okay. Well, anyway, let's play some more music. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Know all about Yeah.
God bless you all. May you have a wonderful weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Okay. I hope your Memorial Day weekend goes good for you. So God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Until we meet again Tuesday night. Amen.